I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is What's Bugging You.
We are joined again today by Dr. John Cooley. John, what have you learned so far about your research with periodical cicadas over the last few years?
You know, whenever you go into a research project, you have some ideas in the back of your mind about what you might find and how you might run the project. And I guess what I'd say over the past couple of years is I've gotten more realistic about those expectations, and now all those things fall apart in the first couple of days because as long as I have been studying periodical cicadas, there's always something new that you spot and always something interesting. One of the things that's been bugging me for a while, and I'd love to know the answer to, is that when you look at the distributions of periodical cicadas in space, in a lot of areas where you have scattered woodlands, because these insects require trees, the cicadas really get confined to river bottoms, which is where you find the trees. And you find these broods go way up and down these different drainages, and they have these complex interactions in these drainages. I'd like to know a little bit more about how periodical cicadas invade new forest. And that's something I really haven't figured out yet, but we're hoping to get the data to give us some more insights on that.
What do you think mapping these broods will tell us about how they came to be? What were the forces that segregated these populations into the broods that we see today?
Well, one of the things that really jumps out at you when you look at maps of periodical cicadas is that they're living in a part of the world, Eastern North America, that was really not habitable to them or anything like them about 10 to 15,000 years ago because it's all in the glacial areas,
right,
or areas that were pretty severely affected by glaciation elsewhere. So you look at the maps and you see this complex structure of the broods and their relationships to each other, and you realize this is all on the order of about 10,000 years old. So one of the natural questions that comes to mind is, how did they cover all this territory in such a short period of time? They must be able to invade these spaces very rapidly. And the next question that comes to mind is, why do all these broods fit together like puzzle pieces? What is it about the process of brood formation that causes them to be pretty much mutually exclusive? And so those are the kinds of questions that we're hoping we can answer with a little bit more certainty if we have some more accurate maps. It's the ultimate puzzle. You know, when you go back and look at Charles Darwin said, basically, and the structure of Origin of the Species is this, that it's the exceptions that are fascinating. It's those things that are hard to explain that tantalize us and that we really want to have a look at.
Well,
and if there is one thing out there that's bizarre and hard to explain, it's going to be periodical cicadas.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the concept of exceptions, because one of the things that keeps popping up in my reading is the whole idea of accelerated development and stragglers. The fact,
yes,
that we have significant numbers, not masses, but significant numbers of individuals from various broods that emerge 4 years early or a year, mm-hmm, early or a year later. What do you think these can tell us about the evolution of periodical cicadas and the 13 and 17-year broods?
On the one hand, these are the fly in the ointment, so to speak. They're the whole thing that makes the story not quite so perfect. On the other hand, they're the key to the whole thing. Because when you look at how the broods fit together and their relationships, it's pretty clear that broods must be formed from other broods. There must be a sort of a parent-daughter relationship between broods. And for that to be true, somehow in the past, some cicadas must have come out on the wrong cycle, and that's how you have a new brood formed. And these stragglers, these off-cycle cicadas, that's pretty much exactly what they are. Normally, stragglers are a handful. I've driven around and looked at a lot of cicadas and a lot of areas where you find cicadas, and I would say that the most stragglers I've ever seen, the densities would be maybe 5% of a normal brood emergence, and that's maybe once in my whole lifetime of looking at these things. More commonly, stragglers are one or two insects after, you know, hundreds of miles of driving. So the question is, there's something about cicadas that makes them straggle, and they straggle in certain ways. And the stragglers are key to it because whatever it is that gets a few cicadas off cycle and emerging as the stragglers that we see commonly, under certain circumstances, maybe anomalous weather conditions, climate fluctuations, that might cause a large number of cicadas to do that and form a new brood. So understanding stragglers is really key to understanding the relationship of periodical cicadas and their life cycles to what's going on in the environment around them.
Tell us again how our listeners can take part in your research.
So one of the most important aspects of the project is citizen involvement. We'd like to hear from people where you've seen cicadas. Most of our maps of periodical cicadas are quite old and out of date, and to update those, we need your input. And so you can go to the website and report where you've seen periodical cicadas and answer some questions about what you've seen. Your input can help us spot anything unusual about the periodical cicada emergence, and that would be a great help to us.